Chapter 7. The following morning, Emily stood in front of Mistress Irene's office, wondering if she dared knock. Emeka had escorted her to the office after breakfast, and then left, pleading an early class. Emily lifted her hand to the door and then hesitated. Mistress Irene's door alone looked intimidating, and the woman herself, according to Emeka, was formidable. Mistress Irene apparently faced down a necromancer with nothing more than a sharp tongue and a complete refusal to surrender to the dark wizard. After meeting Shaedae, Emily had an idea of just how much courage that had to have taken. Bracing herself, she tapped on the door. There was a long pause, just long enough for her to wonder if Mistress Irene was somewhere else, and then the door swung open, silently. Emily stepped inside and saw a simple office, with walls lined by shelves crammed with books. It was smaller than Grandmaster's office, and far more down to earth. Mistress Irene was seated at her desk, studying a sheet of parchment. She pointed one long finger at a chair and motioned for Emily to sit. Emily obeyed, trying to resist the temptation to glance at the devices on the tutor's desk. Some of them shimmered with brilliant magic.
"You are an odd pupil," Mistress Irene said, without preamble. "You are ignorant, yet powerful. That makes you dangerous."
Emily swallowed. Mistress Irene's voice was cold, rapping out the points one by one.
"Magic can kill the ignorant. You must learn to control your magic as quickly as possible. Losing control could be disastrous. Do you understand me?"
"Yes, mistress," Emily said.
"Good," Mistress Irene said.
There was a pause.
"It is possible to use a sorcerer's real name against them, but it requires their complete name to work. You may go by your first name if you wish, or you may select something else you wish to be called. Choose."
Emily hesitated. She'd wondered last night about changing her name completely, but she wanted to cling on to the name she'd been given at birth. Emily alone, it seemed, would be safe to use. Her surname had never been spoken in this new world.
"Emily," she said, finally.
Judging from the other names she'd heard, at dinner and breakfast, it wouldn't be too strange to local ears. Or so she thought, although she still wasn't entirely sure of what the translation spell was actually doing. Besides, it was her name.
"You can call me Emily." "Very well," Mistress Irene said.
She looked up, her dark eyes fixed firmly on Emily's face.
"Mana exists throughout the world. Magic is powered by mana. Your body produces mana. Do you understand me?"
Emily stared at her. "I think so," she said finally. Inwardly, she wasn't so sure. Did her body produce mana itself, or was she drawing on an energy field surrounding the new world, or both? Perhaps the human race produced the power that kept dragons aloft. There was no way for her to know. Maybe she'd have a chance later on to apply the methods of rationality to magic and deduce its underlying rules.
"That's what makes me a sorceress?" "A potential sorceress," Mistress Irene snapped. "When you cast a spell, you power it with mana from your reserves. Learning how to power spells is the single most important lesson you'll learn at this school. Overpowering your spells will result in disaster."
There was a long pause.
"There are other forms of magic, but you have to master your own first, or you'll never be anything more than a journeyman,"
she added in a gentler voice. She picked up a piece of paper and passed it over to Emily, who looked down at it, puzzled.
"The relationship between magic and spells is both simple and complex. Simple, because the spells help steer the magic in the right direction. Complex, because you have to tie the two together in your mind."
Emily nodded, carefully.
"You mean pouring magic into a given shape, like pouring clay into a mold?" she hazarded.
"Or do smaller spells work as building blocks for larger spells?"
"As good an analogy as any," Mistress Irene said. "Can you read the word on the paper?"
"No," Emily said after a moment. She'd half expected a recognizable alphabet, but in hindsight, that had been foolish. The letter she was looking at seemed a cross between Arabic and Chinese.
"I can't read them."
"Good," Mistress Irene said.
Emily blinked in surprise as her tutor continued.
Had you been familiar with the language, we would have had to find another one for you to use. It is vitally important that you never relax while casting spells, even when you become proficient enough to cast them without verbalizing. A single mistake can be disastrous. Using a different language forces you to think.
Emily had to smile. Mistress Irene seemed to like warning her about potential dangers.
"This is a charged wand," Mistress Irene said, picking up a wand from her desk and passing it to Emily. "Wands are normally used for focusing magic. This one has spells inside it, already primed. Can you feel the spells?"
The wand seemed to sparkle in her hand, as if it were alive. Emily felt it twisting like a snake, even though she could see no sign of independent movement. Holding onto the wand was tricky, but the more she held it, the more she was aware of spells waiting for her. And as she became aware of them, she became aware of the mana inside her, waiting to be released. Her magic seemed to be crackling with life.
"Try to cast one of the spells," Mistress Irene said. "Focus your mind on it and trigger the spell."
Emily reached out with her mind, unsure of what she was doing. The spell glittered in her mind, but it seemed frustratingly insubstantial, as if the spell existed only in potential. An engine, she reasoned, but one that required fuel to run. The trick was to draw the mana from inside her body and use it to power the spell. But she wasn't sure how to form the link between her mind and the wand, let alone the spells waiting for her power. Her power seemed to stop at her skin. "Abracadabra," she muttered in frustration. Something clicked in her mind. Power shimmered out of her and into the wand. A moment later, the spell blazed with light in her mind and vanished. Emily opened her eyes, unsure of just when she had closed them, and saw a shimmering image of herself hanging in the air. She let out a yelp in shock just before the image vanished into nothingness. Emily swallowed and started again. "Did I do that?"
"You powered the spell," Mistress Irene said sardonically. "Everyone has their own way to tap their mana."
Emily put it together slowly. There was a muscle for magic in her mind, and she had to learn how to use it. But, like every other muscle, she didn't really issue precise instructions to her body and mind. The trick was learning how to issue basic orders. When she'd spoken the magic word aloud, her subconscious mind had done the hard work. And now that she knew what she was doing, she could do it again.
"Try the second spell," Mistress Irene said. "See if you can figure out how to make this one work."
"Right," Emily said. She closed her eyes and reached out with her mind, right into the wand. The spell was just waiting for her. This time, there was no need to struggle to channel power into the spell. It flared to life in her mind, and when she opened her eyes, she saw a second image of herself. This one seemed alarmingly substantial. Her head started to spin a moment later as it glowed brighter. Something was draining the mana out of her body. Mistress Irene muttered a word. The image snapped out of existence. A moment later, the sense of being drained faded away. Emily rocked back on her chair. The spell hadn't stopped, she realized in alarm. It had just kept draining power from her until Mistress Irene had canceled it. What would have happened if the spell had kept draining her? Would it have killed her outright, or merely knocked her out for a few hours?
"Something else to remember at all times," Mistress Irene said. "Never let a spell demand unlimited power. Magicians, even sorcerers, have been known to kill themselves through trying to use a spell before checking it carefully. Do not try to use any spell until you see how it goes together."
She stood up and picked a book off the shelves.
"I'm going to give you a basic translation spell. It will only last a couple of months, but by then you should be capable of renewing it for yourself. Sit still and don't resist."
Emily shifted uncomfortably as Mistress Irene muttered several words into the air, moving her hand in a complicated gesture. She felt something gossamer thin shimmering into existence around her, as insubstantial as a spider's nest,
before it fell down and over her body, embedding itself in her mind. It was all she could do to remain still until the spell was completed. The spell was so uncomfortable that it could never be a permanent solution. The Grandmaster had been right. She would have to learn to read the local language, just as soon as she possibly could. "Now," Mistress Irene said, once the translation spell had been completed, "it's time to start looking at how spells go together." The next hour passed very slowly, as Emily puzzled over the building blocks of magic. Spells, Mistress Irene explained carefully, were made up of smaller spells. It was possible to memorize a more advanced spell, but without an understanding of the underpinning spells, it would be impossible to progress any further. Looking at the magic words, Emily was reminded of a simple computer language, one that ran in her brain. One of her nerdy friends had bought an ancient computer and experimented with one of the earliest computer languages, before graduating to more complex systems. She was sure that he would have had little difficulty in learning to cast spells because of how familiar he was with arcane computer languages. "Keep them in your mind," Mistress Irene said again and again. "Concentrate on breaking down spells into their smallest components." Emily scowled, feeling her head starting to pound. A computer language didn't actually do anything unless it was in a computer. Writing a line of computer code on blank paper didn't automatically alter the coding inside the computer. Logically, she had to consider herself a magical computer and run the coding, the spells inside her own head, but sometimes it didn't seem to work out that simply. Writing down a magic spell was sometimes exactly the same as casting it, sometimes not. Worse yet, it took several tries before she managed to learn how not to infuse power into the spells. And then there were spells, natural and unnatural, infused into people, objects, or even the empty air. According to Mistress Irene, mana was everywhere, allowing creatures to evolve into forms that could draw on it for themselves. She didn't want to even guess at what sort of evolutionary history might have produced dragons, gorgons, or elves, but it made a certain kind of sense. Maybe, just maybe, orcs and goblins were humans who had been warped into something inhuman by exposure to the magic field. "It's a very good idea to test everything for infused magic before you touch it," Mistress Irene said. "Your fellow students love playing practical jokes. One of them even managed to rig his friend's textbook so that it would turn him into a frog when he opened the book. Most of them won't be skilled enough to hide a spell trap from basic detection spells directly, but there are plenty of tricks they can pull to make it harder to detect a hidden trap." Emily looked down at the spell and nodded before carefully casting it out loud. The room seemed to dim for a moment just before a number of objects started to shimmer with an eerie red glow. She looked around, noticing the spells on the desk, the bookshelves, the globe and crystal ball in the corner, and there were dozens clustered around the door. Some of them looked harmless, even in the red light, but a number looked downright ominous. She had the distant feeling that trying to take a book off the shelves without permission would be very dangerous. "Good," Mistress Irene said. "Now a second spell." It didn't seem to do anything, at least at first, until Mistress Irene passed her a small goblet and invited her to repeat the spell. The red glow surrounding the goblet faded away into nothingness, leaving her looking down at a harmless object. "The simple spell for dispelling trap spells has a much shorter range," Mistress Irene explained. "Should you be unable to remove a spell someone might have left on your property, bring it to me or one of the other tutors. Naturally, removing the more complex trap spells is a great deal harder." Emily nodded. There would be no point in using any sort of spell to keep her property private if it could simply be dispelled. The spells crawling over Mistress Irene's door looked a great deal more complex, suggesting that cracking them would be difficult, if not impossible. She wondered, absently, what they actually did to intruders. Freeze them in place? Transform them into something else? Or kill them outright? No, she thought, that couldn't be possible. Whitehall might take a more relaxed attitude to students injuring themselves and others than any school she knew back home, but there had to be limits. The second hour passed far more quickly than the first, as Mistress Irene pushed her into memorizing and practicing a dozen different spells. One of them was a very simple, defensive spell, enough to deflect many hexes and charms away from her body and soul. Emily shivered at the implications of students needing to know that spell as quickly as possible, forcing herself to keep it firmly in her mind. Another spell checked to ensure that a potion was safe to drink, although Mistress Irene warned her that it only picked up on potions that were lethal. She could still become very ill from drinking the wrong potion. A more complex spell, one that Emily couldn't master in the first session, was designed to analyze other spells, allowing the caster to see how they had been put together by the original magician. Mistress Irene made it work with ease, but Emily couldn't quite keep all the different variables straight in her head. Finally, Mistress Irene told her to leave the spell for now. They'd return to it in 2 days. "I'm going to permit you to enter the library and borrow books suitable for a first-year student," Mistress Irene said. "I know that students practice spells with or without our permission, so I'd just like to remind you that hurting another student will leave you, at the very least, unable to sit comfortably for several days. If you manage to hurt yourself, you'll have us laughing at you as well."
Her eyes narrowed.
"Every student has a different level of power," she added a moment later. "Push your limits, but don't push too far too fast. If you feel unwell or headachy, stop casting spells and rest. Eat something sweet to replenish your energy. The kitchen staff will provide you with something to eat if necessary."
"Thank you, mistress," Emily said finally. Her head already felt uncomfortable. When she stood up, her legs suddenly weakened, and she had to grab the chair to keep herself from falling over.
"You're going to the dining hall where you will eat a large meal," Mistress Irene said. "This afternoon..."
She produced a sheet of paper, which Emily took automatically.
"You will be joining the History of Magic class, followed by a free period during which you are expected to study. You'll begin proper classes tomorrow. Fortunately, we start basic classes throughout the year, as we never know when someone new is going to come to the school, but you have to test out of them before you can proceed."
Emily glanced down at the paper. It was a class schedule, written out in a neat, precise hand. The school day was divided up into 8 periods, 7 of them assigned to actual studies and 1 assigned for lunch. There were 30 minutes between classes, either to keep the students from becoming exhausted by giving them a chance to get something to eat, or to ensure that if one class ran late, there would be no delay for the second class. Being tardy, she suspected, would earn one a detention at Whitehall, or worse.
"I shall assign your roommates to assist you, as you are unfamiliar with our world," Mistress Irene added.
Emily gulped. She liked Emeka, but she had the feeling that Aloha would be much less willing to help a newcomer explore the school.
"Emeka needs to retake 2 classes, so she will accompany you to Transfiguration and Mentalist Magic. Depending on how you progress, you may be moved up to a more advanced class within the next 2 months.
Emily nodded. The schedule listed a dozen different classes for a first year, including alchemy, charms, cryptozoology, divination, and ethics. A number of periods had been left blank, but she wasn't sure if they were free periods for private study or if Mistress Irene hadn't assigned her to specific classes for those times yet. 2 periods on Tuesday and Thursday had simply been marked sport. Emily scowled at the thought. She'd moved to a completely new world, and she was still forced to attend gym class. Mistress Irene smiled.
"You haven't done that badly," she said. "Void was right. You do have potential."
Emily flushed. "But I couldn't master the analysis spell. The tutor laughed.
"I'd be embarrassed if you mastered it without weeks of practicing. Do you know how long it took me to master it?"
Mistress Irene shook her head.
"Go to the dining hall and eat," she ordered, "and then let your amulet guide you to History of Magic."
Emily nodded and left the office, thinking, as she left, that Mistress Irene wasn't so bad after all. Perhaps she even had a heart of gold.